the wrong kind of healing.
Yeah.
But,
see, I went through the I went through the same thing with my mom.
I know a particular lady who is in a similar situation as Arnold. And she is using her ailments, her physical disabilities, her, and all of her medical problems. Her whole focus is on sharing Christ with others. It's not on her.
Yeah.
It's, she sees herself in a position to share Christ. So quite often when we talk about, oh, Arnold, I'm going to pray for you to be healed, Arnold, what the heck does that mean?
New. Yes.
And I think we really have to look at what praying for healing really means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good explanation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember when I was going through with my mom too, because I prayed the same thing that people were praying for David, that my mom would be healed. And when she passed away, that was the question I asked, you know, God, why didn't you heal? Well, he did heal her.
Mm-hmm.
As far as her no longer being in pain and her not, you know, not having the infirmities that she did, that was mm-hmm. his healing.
Mm-hmm. Who's the, this body that we live in, is it ours or is it Christ?
No, we're told that it's a temple. It's a temple. It's with the Lord.
And whose is it?
Belongs to Christ.
It's his. This is what we're learning.
Yeah.
Is that we share this same form. And this form, this body, is a vessel. It's owned and purchased. It rightfully is God's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens to this body? Is it ours to choose now? Is it ours to have responsibility?
No, and that's the tough realization that people need to understand, is that mm-hmm. we are not in, like Grubb said, when we the self for self and the self for others.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in control of mm-hmm. the body that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's God's domain.
Who's actually living? Scott, we talked about this yesterday.
And Christ is living. He's the one who's in us.
Are we living any longer?
No.
There's no longer any I.
Right.
Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I am living, but yet not I.
Mm-hmm. There is no longer an I.
So
there never was.
I cannot exercise or have any authority to exercise my own self for self. That's outside of who I am, who has my whole existence. It's a falsehood. My body, my life is Christ. So when we go through these, Christ is facing this, Arnold's facing this surgery, he's facing this rehabilitation for months. Who's actually facing that?
Christ is.
Okay. Now, for us to pray for healing, is that what he intends to happen?
Well, we don't know what he intends to happen.
We do, right?
Okay, oftentimes, we
can't see what he wants
mm-hmm.
Arnold to do.
Yeah.
Okay. But then it says, as we've been told before in these conversations on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
if it's something that makes us feel okay, then go ahead and do it.
See, my wife and I watched a movie last night or the night before that we've seen before. I would highly recommend it. It's called Greater.
Greater,
it's a true story about a young football player who goes to Arkansas University. He's a walk-on to play football for them. Okay, he's a very faithful young man. He has an older brother, 17 years older than him. And my point here is the faith of the brother is challenged, and the faith of the older brother is really a picture of how the church has screwed up faith. There's a scene where the two brothers are sitting at the bedside of their father who's dying of cancer. And the older brother says, we need to pray for him. We need to pray that he's healed. And we need to pray that he lives longer so that he can see his grandchildren grow. And he goes through all this stuff. And he looks at his younger brother and he says, Brandon, you are a faithful man. I don't know anybody more faithful than you. And God says the prayers of the righteous will be answered. Okay. So, Arnold, I perceive you to be a faithful man. So, therefore, God should heal you. Because if I pray that you be healed, you're a righteous man. So, therefore, you should be healed. This is how screwed up we have become with our prayers. Because again, that prayer is all about what I want, maybe what Arnold wants. Okay.
So but don't you think some people
not what Christ wants?
And this thought
don't you think of what, is from a scripture that is read. You know, all the healing you see that Jesus do.
Here it comes.
So I've had this thought of. What if I was sitting here with advanced stage prostate cancer that has gone into metastasized into my blood system, almost for sure a death penalty? Would that change the conversation?
good perspective. Good question.
Not for me. Not anymore.
No.
Right, Dave.
I would still pray for you.
What I've personally been through and what I've learned about prayer and about Christ and about myself, it doesn't matter what the medical condition is. It doesn't matter what our physical condition is. I was led to see Christ in a very powerful way by a little child in a wheelchair suffering from cerebral palsy, who could not even talk, could not even control his actions. And that little boy, God used that little boy to show me his son in a very powerful way. So it's not about our physical or mental state. It's about Christ.
Now, I want to go back to David Fundak. Your point, I think I heard you correctly. Tell me, David, you asked, why can't we use that scripture? Is that
all the healings that Jesus did? How did he restore people? He restored people to even better than maybe what they ever were born. And
yeah, Dennis.
What's wrong with having that great expectation?
Okay.
And it's, and if that's what we have to go by, past history, I think maybe that's where some of that comes from.
Okay. Let me comment on Jesus, his healing ministry. There were probably more who were not healed than those that were. So we have to keep that in perspective. There were a lot of people that they wanted to take Jesus to, and so that he could heal them. He's no, it's not for this time. So keeping that in perspective helps us understand the priority of, was it about healing that Jesus came, or was those healing miracles something more? Were they a sign of something? Did he use healing to bring about a revelation of something? Yeah. And he said himself, these are signs. And so healing was a very powerful way that he could demonstrate the power of God and who he was. To say that because Jesus healed everybody, we also should expect everybody to be healed is a bit of an exaggeration. And that's the problem we get into as a religious society. We take those narratives and we expand them to be true or become an altruism. Now, you cited the verse in James. And here again, it's important, I believe, to have a perspective. James comes from an orientation, as you know, very, very religious, very much a Jew, very much entrenched in Jewish theology. Yeah. And Jewish theology held that if you had God's favor, then you could expect prosperity, not only healing, but good life, riches, and all of that. Now, when you listen to James and he puts forth that formula of anoint someone with oil and the righteous man will be healed, you get a picture of that Jewish theology coming through. Now, take that same perspective and compare it to where Paul is coming from. Did Paul say the same thing? Now, he's as steeped in Jewish theology as James was. But do you hear or read Paul emphasizing the same kinds of formulas? I think you'll find a disparity there. Now, did he not believe in healing? Yes, Paul definitely did. But there was something that he saw beyond just a physical comfort or well-being in a person's life. So what we have to be, I think as David Fulton pointed out, we have to be careful, as we've always tended to follow these religious constructs. We get trapped into these formulas and expect, okay, it's this way, and we should expect it always to happen, and this is what God intends for us. What we're learning here, folks, is we're learning that God has a bigger picture. We're learning that God has a whole new framework to understand as we live in this body, this vessel, and he lives with us, and life circumstances now take on a whole considerably different effect or impact. And that's why Paul, I go to Paul's statement here in Colossians. His statement there is an indication of seeing that framework, that not only it's beyond just healing, it's beyond just living prosperous. He could have prayed for those people. I pray that you have wonderful lives, you have free from evil, you're free from physical pain. That's not what he's praying for them. He's praying that they would realize God, and in that realization, that knowledge, understand the power, the endurance, the patience that comes with understanding who you partner with, who you live with, who you are enjoined with, you and God together. Now, it may result in physical healing, but far more than that is going to come a realization that's much deeper. And as David points out, he's realizing who Jesus is, and the ministry and the impact or the effect of Christ working through his life is far greater than had he been restored and fully healed.
And as I've got 2 points here.
Okay.
First, as far as my prayer for Arnold's healing, yeah, I can pray that God will provide for his healing.
Mm-hmm.
My expectation is that God is going to show him something.
Okay.
Is he going to show him healing? That, like David Fulton said, we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is We've had conversations in the past where, as far as prayers based on past practice, you know, with religion, with church, mm-hmm. that where the comment was made that if it makes that person feel better, i.e. David Fundock, if it makes that person feel better, then go ahead and do it.
You know what that also sounds like, though, Scott? Remember the mantra in the 70s and 80s, if it feels good, do it?
Yeah, it's...
And that was wrong.
But, you know, and it's... if that's the case, let's just put it out there and say it's wrong. Don't do that.
Talk about confusion.
Well, no, it's I can understand how people would look at that and say, okay, this is it's a confusing. I mean, Dennis, you and I have had this conversation where we're told to do one thing, but then you come along and say, well, this isn't the way that we're supposed to do things.
Again, Scott, let me be clear. If you know in your spirit that you are to speak the words of healing into a brother Arnold or whoever, mm-hmm. then be obedient and do it.
Yeah.
But if you're not convinced, if you've not heard those words, say, what is the word of Christ? What is the word of Christ for Arnold?
The word of Christ is that inner voice that we have.
Exactly. And what is it for Arnold? What are you hearing the word of Christ for Arnold?
What I said was to pray for his healing.
Are those the words of Christ?
No.
Oh, they're not.
Pray for healing.
Is that, those are the words of Christ? You know that for sure.
Yeah.
No, but I know definition of the word charlatan. I know that.
Okay.
You know, charlatan, snake charmer, you know, that kind of thing.
You know, yeah, we all know that very well. Yeah.
So bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arnold, I think it's only fair that I should say I will pray for you and pray for your healing.
Well, thank you.
But I also
thank you.
Here, hear that, Dennis?
Yes.
But then I also have the expectation that God is going to reveal something to him.
Okay. Now,
well, what if Dave, what if he doesn't? What if I die on the operating table? You know,
if that be the case, then he has revealed something to you. What he's revealed is mm-hmm. your presence okay. in him.
But Scott, what about that prayer for healing, though?
I think that is just a common thing that people do.
Exactly. It's yeah, something.
You know what else is common is like if you don't clap hard enough, Tinkerbell dies. You know that thing, like in the theater, like it's up to you. You didn't do it. You didn't do it right, or you didn't. That's uh-huh. what that reminds me of.
Well, cancel culture needs to do away with Tinkerbell anyway.
Maybe it wasn't, but you know.
You know, Jesus, right? Jesus in the fourth chapter of John, Jesus talks about, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Mm-hmm. So he was pointing out that we were missing the point mm-hmm. of the healings mm-hmm. that he did.
Right.
Because it wasn't about the healings. Mm-hmm. As Dennis mm-hmm. mentioned, it was about the power of God. And it was about what we need to be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, I think where I've got
weren't people healed that just reached out and touched
the lady,
mm-hmm. his clothes? Yeah, wasn't that a thing?
Mm-hmm. The lady that touched his robe that was healed, Jesus said he had not seen anybody with so much faith.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. So it's really not up to us. It's up to who we're praying for. They need to have faith too, right?
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. See, and this is, I think this is another mistake we make, is we expect a person who has no faith to be healed by our faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't transfer like that, though.
Sometimes it does. But I want to comment about that. Jesus says, I have not seen such faith. Well, let's describe that. Is that some magical power that this woman suddenly has, and so she gets to be healed because she has that? Or is she cognizant of something? She sees something mm-hmm. that is truly hers.
Look at Colossians 1:27, the expectation.
Okay. She got something in her vision. She saw something going to happen. She was made aware of what God intended. It's not something that she saw for everyone else. This is what I'm referring to. She caught the word of God. She caught the words of Christ. She knew faith is seeing what God sees. That woman was able, excuse me, she was able to see something that God was seeing. And for her, that was seeing healing. And so she simply had to reach out and take it.
Does anybody remember exactly where that story is at? My question is this. Okay, she reached out and touched his robe.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything in the story that says she was expecting to be healed? Or just like you're saying, Dennis, she realized who Jesus was? So I'd have to go back and read the story.
Yes,
I remember exactly where it's at.
I apologize. I can't think the reference point myself. But as I recall the story, it seems she has no other prompting or persuasions other than the fact that she just knew if she could only just touch him. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that touch was so powerful. Jesus said he felt something being released. Something going from him or through him.
Mm-hmm.
So she had something working in her awareness, in her conscience, in her vision. She was seeing something that was already going to happen if she could just fulfill the physical act.
The closest story that I have compared to that is with the faith of the centurion servant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in that situation, Jesus also commends the centurion. And this is where I think that phrase comes from more truly, David, is that he said, I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel.
Yeah.
The centurion knew the power of saying the command as a man in authority. He said, I can tell people to go, I can tell them to come, I can tell them whatever. Mm-hmm. And he understood that same capacity in terms of coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, just say the word. I understand the authority and the power that is in your word. And so Jesus simply had to speak it.
Yeah.
Again, what are we talking about here? What are these words that Jesus is saying or wants you to say? It's not something out of our own mind and our own preference and for our own comfort and our own desires. This is something that's coming almost distinct from ourselves, but it is welling up in our spirits. And we know these are the words that need to be spoken.
Yeah, but it goes against what we've been taught for so long.
Well, certainly. No, we're taught to use the phrases that always come along with our religious structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're taught to just formalize and speak the things, the phrases that have always been taught to us. Go find some elders, go find some oil, anoint these people, and they're going to get healed. Those are the phrases and the common theological frameworks that we've been handed down from for centuries.
Yeah.
Not taking into account that, wait a minute, is it about this formula, or is there something beyond this formula that I need to understand is at the crux, at the heart of this?
Take care.
So for Arnold, what is the word of Christ for Arnold? Arnold, what is the word that you feel for yourself?
You got to get from the horse.
You know, the more I'm learning about myself is that myself doesn't matter that much, really. I'm in some kind of symbiotic relationship with Jesus, and I'm his face. I'm the face of God for a little short period of time here on this earth. He's going to use me no matter what happens through surgery or recovery or like that. I mean, not even use me. He's going to be expressing himself, you know, and it really isn't about me, you know. Anytime you do some major surgery and stuff like that, you sign all the forms that you might die and all that stuff. But you are faced with the fact that, you know, we're immortal. I mean, we're here on this earth for a little while. We die. Our family remembers this. We all, some of us, kind of think how much each one of us remember our fathers if they've passed on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love my dad, but I don't think about him every day. He's had his place in time. Same with me. It isn't about me. You know, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, powerful.
Arnold, when you first started answering that question, you mentioned yourself and that you didn't feel comfortable with that. Well, the reason that we shouldn't feel comfortable with that is because, as Dennis has said, there is no self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with you, Scott.
Not us. It's not us anymore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of relearning on my part. It's been a couple years of relearning, you know.
I think we're all in physical therapy as far as that goes for a while.
Yeah.
Physical or mental therapy?
Mental therapy.
Yeah. Our brains are being rewired to think in the new term, in the new framework.
So Dennis, one of us will be facing a different attitude and I just would love to have the same attitude that Arnold has if I were in that situation. So I think the main thing to me is Arnold or Jerry or Dennis or Scott in that situation, finding peace where you feel at peace about your attitude, your relationship with Jesus, and instead of being so anxious about it and everything, but somehow finding that peace is what I feel strongly about.
You see what Jerry just mentioned is what we typically refer to as the rubber meeting the road.
Hmm.
when that time comes is when we're, when our beliefs and when our faith is tested.
Yeah. So if we do get healed, I know a lot of people who got healed, and I don't know that their attitude or their peace with God ever changed. They experienced a reprieve, a release, if you will, a temporary, albeit. They, you know, we're all still going to die. So, yeah. What is, as Jerry, as you referred to, what is it that we really should be seeing about God? Is it just that, he's going to help me be comfortable, or is there something more? Is there something I should be feeling, experiencing in his presence?
Right.
I know people who, like I say, who were seemingly healed and just as miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then here was the kicker. The church used to say, well, now be careful. Don't have a bad attitude. You could lose your healing.
How can you lose something that's already happened? I don't.
Yeah.
Well, this was the faulty thinking that was part of that whole process. See,
maybe that's what happened to me.
You
know, as I'm pondering, how do we pray for Arnold? And as I'm listening to everybody talk, I'm starting to realize that what Paul was telling us to pray about, our eyes being opened, about us learning more about God, seeing him, that perhaps our prayer for Arnold is that he will grow in the knowledge of Christ, because through this ordeal, God will probably show Arnold what it is he's doing. And then Arnold hopefully will be able to share that experience with us at a later date. But perhaps the healing is God revealing something to Arnold, and our responsibility is praying that his eyes will be open to whatever God's doing.
I agree, David. And Arnold, only you know what occurred in the first round in this regard in your life. What, remember we talked about it, we even discussed in a private little private podcast, what had you seen about Jesus in the first round of this episode in your life? Was that any precursor, or was that of value? What experience did you have with Christ and God then?
I'm going to answer your question around about, because back to what David just said, David, I think you're spot on. That's where we started the conversation this morning. That's where Paul prayed. Enlighten somebody on this conversation in the future or not, that may or may not happen. But I was thinking, as David was talking, David, you wouldn't even be having this conversation if you hadn't been through what you've been through. I don't think you'd say what you just said if you hadn't been all the time paraplegic in the hospital for, you know, what desperation, you know, and here you are teaching me something today, you know. Thank you, David. You know,
We Dennis and I had a podcast yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you've uploaded that yet, Dennis, or not.
Haven't had a chance quite yet,
but the question centers around a new, or how would we introduce someone who's just seeing or just beginning to question the reality or the truth of Jesus as we know it, you know, Jesus in us, you know, the new believer. And one of them, you know, we pointed out the materials, you know, Norman Grubb and a few other authors. But one of the things that we brought up was these Sunday morning conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as one resource to refer people to in order to, you know, start to learn more about the reality of Christ in them.
Okay, we have to be careful with that answer. I met a lady in Rwanda, Sonia, a tiny little lady, raised Jewish. She survived the Holocaust because her parents left her with a Danish family, and her entire family perished in the Holocaust. Long story short, she ends up in Boston, I believe it was. And she discovered that the practice of Judaism in America was considerably different than it was in Israel. But she ends up at an Episcopal church, and she's searching for answers about God. And this is my point. She was talking to a man, and she was sharing her struggles with understanding who Jesus was. Well, the man knew that she grew up Jewish. So I said, you need to read the book of Matthew. And that struck her as odd, because whenever she talked to Christians in the past, oh, well, you need to read this verse or that verse. And this guy told her to read an entire book. Understanding that she was Jewish, he knew that the book of Matthew held the answers she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And she converted to Christianity. So again, as we've talked in the past, when addressing a new believer or addressing anybody, are we going to listen to God's prompting on what to say?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to having a canned answer ready, and it's like, okay, if they ask me this question, I'm going to answer with this answer. And if they ask, you know, we start formulating answers and situations mm-hmm. in our mind,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just letting it flow freely
mm-hmm.
and following God's lead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What is God saying? Well, many of the answers will scripture. Yes, but sometimes he's saying more than just it's written in scripture. What is he saying in your heart? What are the words that you are hearing? What is prompting your heart? What's that deep? David called it a deep calling unto the deep. In a waterfall, there was a voice there that he could discern. Where is that in each of us? And what is that voice saying to us?
You know, the voice is saying to me, guys, have confidence mm. that we're going to get through this just fine. And that what is on perhaps the other side of healing and such like that? Well, that's another adventure we're going to do together.
Mm.
But that's, you asked the word, it's confidence. Mm. And I didn't have that, and I haven't had that before in different events of my life.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome. We can agree with you for that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's coming. That's coming from an authority that's deep. That's That's waterfall language, Arnold.
Yeah.
Well, and so
it's not,
yes,
it's not. You know, it's not mine. It clearly is Jesus. And you know, I really don't matter. I mean, it's not like I do matter. You know, but
here you do.
That's just the me part of me. You know.
Yeah. So we're praying for that.
That makes a lot of sense, Arnold.
Yeah.
If we decide we matter to a point of putting ourselves above God, I'm more important than anything. No, we matter, but we have to understand that God matters first. Jesus matters first, and we matter as a result of Him.
Yes, well said, David. Well said.
We tend to forget that, you know, Christianity can be an oxymoron. It's not about me, but it is about me.
Yeah.
Hey, Lucifer thought that he mattered.
Yeah, he did. We matter because Christ matters. We share the same body. We share the same heart. He lives in our lives. Yeah, we matter because Christ matters. And we enjoy this symbiotic union. And so our completion and our worth is Him. So with all, you know, with all that He is, we pray Arnold experiences that.
Yes.
The confidence and the well-being, the endurance, and that joy wells up in him through this experience. So now, Arnold, you're not going to be with us then for a couple of weeks. What do you anticipate?
Well, not next week and not the following week,
right.
at least. And I'll be able to re-listen to the podcast. So sure. I won't be away from it. But I just want to say thank you to each one on this call for your friendship. Of how we're learning together, that every time somebody speaks, I learn something in my heart. It speaks to me. And I would guess probably the reverse is true.
Oh, you know, definitely.
For all of you.
Well, we love you, brother.
Mm. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. And that's good. Mm. By the way, that's always good to hear. Always.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, you know, whatever that word love means, God is that. You know,
everybody has, I believe, Arnold's email, and I'm certain you'll appreciate from time to time getting a little note if something inspires any of us to drop him a note through his recovery. I'm sure he'll be reading as much as he can and watching, but a personal note will be, I'm sure, appreciated as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for sharing. Thanks for being a living example of how we face things, how we endure this life.
Yeah.
And so, hey, grace on your family as well, Julie and your son, they're going to be at your side, I'm sure.
Yeah. They will.
Yeah. Now, is the hospital local? Where did you say the hospital is going to be?
As far as I know, it's just next door to us.
Oh, okay.
It's called Saddleback Memorial Hospital.
Saddleback Memorial. All right.
And it's a big center in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll be there. I'll be a stone's throw from home. I'll be home as fast as I can. I'd rather be home than living someplace else, but assisted living may be the best thing for Julie, and that's
all right.
You know, right. So anyway, you guys, we'll see y'all in a few weeks, and you know,
you bet. Would you mind doing something for us if you could ask Julie if she could just drop a note to us at how your surgeries went? However, she could send it to me or to the group as a whole, but we'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keep us updated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Arnold. All right, everybody.
Well,
we'll see you soon.
And with everybody, let's go on with the adventure of learning how to face life with Christ in us.
Yeah.
And learning about what is that expectation, what's there for us. So have a great week.
Will do. You, by the way, Super Bowl's next Sunday. Go Rams. Hey, all right. You're just up the road from us here. Come on.
Who's playing?
Tom Brady?
All we have to know is a cat.
Never mind.
All right, everybody. Take care. That'll do it.
Bye, guys.